Let's pray as we open and speak, allow the Lord to speak to us this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. As we come now, we pray that you would teach us, inspire us, inform us, but most importantly, Lord, lead us closer to you. Amen. You know, I was supposed to be with you back in January, and this is what we were going to speak about, but it snowed that day. And it got real cold, so thank God. So I believe that the Lord in his wisdom, there was somebody who was not going to be here that Sabbath, so he delayed it so you could be here today to hear this word. A simple word today, it's two uninvited guests. All of last year and maybe even into 2020, some of us have been carrying these two guests in our lives, two uninvited guests. Ladies and gentlemen, I've titled these guests, You Couldn't and You Shouldn't. Two guests, You Couldn't and You Shouldn't. See, this is a month when we pause to recognize the events that has formed or transformed American culture, American history. I don't think it's just black history. I think this is part of American history. And throughout the course of our study and our understanding of American history, there was a time when somebody with my texture was told that you couldn't. And there were other times that they were told that you shouldn't. But thanks be to God, prayer, and some strong men and women, some heroes, you could go through a roll call. They proved that by faith and trust in God that you could and you should. But I want to talk to you today about two women who had two guests in their lives and how God uninvited those guests from their lives. And hopefully by the time you leave today, if one or both of those guests are in your life, you would have the knowledge and hopefully the desire to uninvite these two guests. Ladies and gentlemen, Elizabeth. See, the guest in Elizabeth's life was you couldn't. Excuse me. Elizabeth was barren. There was nothing that she or Zachariah could have done to correct that situation. She couldn't. She was advanced in age. Luke chapter 1, verse 7 and 18 tell us that she was about 60 years of age. So not only was she barren, but by the time we pick up this story, and by the way, the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew are the only two books in the Bible that talk about the birth of Jesus and John the Baptist. Only two Gospels that reference these early life stages of these two boys who became men whose life were intertwined. It wasn't for the want of trying. Elizabeth and Zechariah had tried, but they were unsuccessful. And it seems that through all their human intervention, and back then the medical science was not as advanced as it is today, so they had come to the realization that Elizabeth couldn't. You couldn't. The second guest, ladies and gentlemen, is you shouldn't. Mary, a virgin. Not the same problem. Certainly, Bible historians will tell us that she probably was in her early teens, 14, 15, maybe at most 16, a virgin. Was pregnant with a child. Ladies and gentlemen, she shouldn't. And so the second guest is found in the story of Mary. You shouldn't. When people try to stop you from experiencing the power of God in your life. Two guests. You couldn't and you shouldn't. Let's dig a little bit into each one of them. Turn your Bibles. Keep your Bibles open if some of you have. In the book of Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at some Bible verses today as we peel back this first uninvited guest. You couldn't. In the case of Elizabeth, she couldn't. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that sometimes bad things happen to good people, and that you don't have to assume that because there are situations in your life, you don't, or someone else's, you don't have to always assume it's because they have done something wrong. See, the Bible in verse 6, Luke chapter 1, verse 6 tells us, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. And look, the Bible underlines the statement, blameless. Zechariah was a priest, and so he had been following God in his priestly ministry. But I want you to understand that in that day, that would have been a most embarrassing, traumatic experience for Elizabeth. In the culture of that day, a married woman was expected to have a child. And that was the whole, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, in that culture, and now it's not too far-fetched today, in that culture, you were expected to have a child, and not just a child, but a male child. I don't find that too far-fetched today, because they will tell you in the royal family, when Prince William married, Kate was expected to have a child. That was why he got married, and that was her first royal duty, to get pregnant, and not just with one, but a spear and spears, because I think she's up to what, four? Three. She's got some spear. That, ladies and gentlemen, in the British culture, that was Kate's required duties, to have children. So the Bible isn't too far-fetched when we find in Elizabeth's culture, in Elizabeth's time, it would have been a disgrace for a woman to not have a child. Barren. You can imagine all the other women who would have their bats mitzvah and their baby blessings, and they would say on the eighth day, because in the Jewish culture, on the eighth day you will circumcise the boy child. And they will say to Elizabeth, you can't come to the circumcision. Why? Because you don't have a child. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, church folk could be very hard on each other. You know, sometimes married women, we uninvite the single woman in the church, or those who have become single. We just don't invite them. Or sometimes if you're not in a particular group, you just heard that there was potluck. Now, you know, every first and fourth Sabbath, you have second and fourth or whatever, you have it here. First and fourth, you have it here. But what's happening second, three, and other Sabbaths? You think there aren't potlucks? You might just not be invited to those potlucks. Oh, I'm keeping it real this morning. So there were some potlucks that Elizabeth was not invited to because she couldn't. And she was carrying this guest in her life. She couldn't have a child, so for her, it was a disgrace. Fertility was high priced in that. Matter of fact, it was so high priced that in some verses in the Bible, Ezekiel 49:25, a woman was told, your womb has been blessed. Genesis 16, verse 2. Sarah, talking about her pregnancy, she said, the Lord has blessed her. So to not have a child was considered that you had not found favor in God. Ladies and gentlemen, what is that thing that's in your life right now, that's in your life today? It's not, maybe it's not pregnancy, but what is that circumstance in your life today that's causing people to look at you and say, I don't want to get too close to this brother. I don't want to get too close to this sister. Maybe they talk too much. Maybe they gossip too much. Maybe they aren't talented as they should be. Maybe they don't have positions in the church, but I don't want to get too close to this person because it's an embarrassment for me. I've got a reputation to uphold, and I don't want to be seen walking with someone who is deemed by the folks to have a problem. What is that thing today that you're scared, you hide, because you're afraid that if we know, we'll put a stamp on you. You couldn't. And so advancing her age, concerned about it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes when the Lord begins to work the situation out in your life, you're so ashamed to tell us what he's working out. You couldn't. You have a situation. You've been praying about it. The Lord is working it out for you, but you're too embarrassed to tell us that the Lord is helping you overcome because you're more concerned about what we would say about what he's overcoming in you. And I want you to understand that Elizabeth had the same problem. The Bible said that she remained in seclusion for 5 months. She was too embarrassed to tell the people that at age 60, she was pregnant. Because somebody would have said, no, you couldn't. She knew that there was this child in her. And so, because she wasn't sure, you would think that she would be able to come forward and say, I'm 60 years old and I'm pregnant. And everybody would say, amen. You would think that you could come to church today and stand up and testify how the Lord is helping you through something. And we would say, okay. Instead, we'll say, what? What? I didn't know that. Why didn't you tell me something? Not that we are concerned, but we're saying, why didn't you tell me something so that I could have stayed away from you? Think about it. You have someone get up in the church today and they say, listen, I just want to thank the Lord. He's helping me through you know, I had this problem where I used to, you know, I steal things from people. And the Lord is helping me. I can go to somebody's house now and I can see things and don't take it. You'd be like, what? What? And I had you over in my home. Well, God forbid a child molester comes into your congregation. And he stand up and he's saying, and I'm telling you this because right now when one of the churches that I go to, they are facing that situation. There's a child molester in the congregation and the church is torn. What should they do? Oh, all the Sabbath school divisions are locked the doors. Can you imagine if that, whoever that person is, gets up in the congregation one Sabbath and testified, I am the child molester and the Lord is healing me. Everybody will be like, oh, I'm transferring my membership today. And so Elizabeth secluded herself because she just couldn't deal with the negativity from the people. They just wouldn't believe. And in the 6th month, we find herself visited by Mary. Now, I want you to understand a couple of things that are happening here. Sometimes when God is about to work with you and you're about to uninvite this, you couldn't guess. Sometimes the very people close to you don't cooperate with you. See, God is saying to her husband, look at this. This is amazing. God is saying to Zacharias, you will have a child. No, I wouldn't. Yes, you would. No, I wouldn't. Yes, you would. Okay. I wouldn't. All right, here's what. Here's what, Zachariah. I'll shut your mouth up. Now, when the Bible says mute, I want you to understand that mute here means both deaf and dumb. Not just couldn't speak. You'll see evidence that he was also deaf. So now, guess what? This brother had some incentive to cooperate. Because listen, he was saying to the Lord, I'm not going to go home and know my wife. I'm not going to go home and lay with my wife. That's a waste of time. She's 60 years old. So the angel said, oh, you're not? Well, here's what. I'm going to set this up so that you'll be both deaf and dumb. And so now he has some incentive to go. And he's like, honey, let's get this over with. Because the quicker we get this over with, I'll get my voice back. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you have people in your life who would not cooperate with God for you. And so he had an incentive, not for her, but for him. And he did what he just needed to do. And so she became impregnated. But had God not shut him up, had God not inflicted with him, he would not have cooperated with God. That's a sad commentary. Sad commentary. So he's counting the months. Month one. I'm 8 months to getting back my voice. Month two, Lord, I'm 7 more months to get back my voice. Still not believing it's going to be happening because she's not showing any outward signs. Month three, he's like, I don't know about this. I need my voice back. Time we get to month 4 or 5, he's seeing signs now. So he's starting to feel positive. Oh, I'm going to get my voice back. She's 6 months. I'm going to get my voice back. Sometimes those very ones close to you, your family, don't believe what God is doing in your life because they still believe you couldn't. You walk in and announce, I'm becoming a Seventh-day Adventist. No, you couldn't. There's a Baptist family. There's a Catholic family. You couldn't. And you stepped out in faith. And your own family believes you can't. Stepping out in faith. And so, a couple of things important to note here. She is now going to be taken from one who was looked down on, one who was not invited to the dinners, one who was considered cursed, one who was shunned by most women. God is going to take this woman, uninvite you couldn't from her life, and make her the top of the woman in the village. Because she's about to do something that no woman ever did. See, when God takes your life, and he uninvites you couldn't from your life. What he does, we still can't believe he did. There's something she did this morning. I know you've read this story before, but there's something she did that no other woman in Jewish culture ever did. I'll show you what it is. Luke chapter 1, verse 59. So, it's time to name the child. Now remember what the Bible said the child's name should be. What? Remember? John. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, watch how the Lord works. See, when the Lord takes your life, I'm telling you, when you uninvite, you couldn't from your life. And God says, I'm about to fix this. All your naysayers are going to be shocked. Shut up. And you just need to go forward, irrespective of what they say or what they do. You just need to go forward. Ladies and gentlemen, the naming of the child was the responsibility of the man, not the woman. In Jewish culture, it is not the role of the woman to name the child. So guess what? It's circumcision day. It's time to name the child. Luke chapter 1, verse 59. Turn your Bible because, you know, the Bible's got some of the best soap operas, you know. Verse 59, Family Feud, drama, 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 drama. Drama in the house. They said she couldn't. Now she does. Time to name the child. Circumcision, verse 59. So on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have him called by the name of his father, because who is supposed to name the child? Who? The father. That's Jewish culture. Zechariah. Could he talk? Could he hear? He couldn't do it. The child had to have a name, and he is as dumb as a piece of wood. Can't hear. They're making signs. You'll see how they make signs. He couldn't do it. So God had put this man in a situation where the role that he was supposed to do, now he couldn't. So now God is going to elevate the woman who everybody said, you couldn't, you need to go home, you're 60 years old, just go home and lay down, you embarrass your husband, you're not having a child. All of this stuff they've been telling this woman for years, all of a sudden she, now the whole crowd is looking at her. I guess he's got to have a name. Elizabeth, I'll show you this. Elizabeth, what shall we call him? She says, we should call him John. Now, because, again, two problems. Drama in the house, drama in the house. Big family feud. All the in-laws are there. You know, they brought their little stuff. Some of them brought stuff from dollar store somewhere to Hallmark. Some of them bought some very expensive. Some of them at Macy's, you know, the gift list. They bought some very expensive gift. And here she called his name John. First problem, she wasn't supposed to name him. Right? But they looked at him. He's dumb as a rock. Can't talk, can't hear. Call him John. What? First problem, you aren't supposed to talk. Second problem, John. What's the problem with that? And he said to her, there's no one in a relative named John. That's like you.
Come into when Joshua was born. What's his name? Joshua Smith. This is the silliest family. What would I name my son Joshua Smith? Matter of fact, all the saints will say, Sister Celia, something's going on there, huh? You telling me that Elder Celia is the father, but his name is Joshua Smith? Wasn't going to happen. So, see, what was supposed to happen when you name a Jewish child, first a male child, you name him after the father, because the understanding is that he would follow in the footsteps of his father. What was the father? The father was a priest. What was John going to be? Not a priest. Couldn't name him John. Couldn't name him Zachariah. What? He was supposed, his father had a well-respected position, priest. He should have been called Zachariah. But God has said, I don't want him to be a priest. So you can't name him John. You can't name him Zachariah. You have to name him something different because he has a different mission. But the people didn't know that. So they're like, No. We're not going, Elizabeth, two problems here. You weren't supposed to name him. We went along with that because your husband is as dumb as a rock. But you call him John? No, he has to be. They looked around. Is anybody in the family named John? Is she crazy? She done lost her mind. No, there are no Johns in this family. That means this boy is going to be something that we didn't expect. When God uninvites you couldn't from your life, you don't know where he'll take it. And what we expect for him to do, he is going to do the unexpected. And he's going to shut up your haters. Because we finally accept that God is doing it. We finally accept, yes, she's pregnant, she's had the child. But we want to have a say in how your life should go. And God has said, listen, you weren't in the making. You didn't cause this pregnancy. You all didn't believe it. So guess what? You're all out of it. I'm going to do with this boy what I choose to do because this is my boy. See, when God uninvites you couldn't from your life and you turn control over to him, you've got to let him go where he wants you to go. Just come along for the ride. Drama in the house. Luke chapter 1, verse 63. Drama in the house. Ooh, so they make signs to the father what he should be called. That just shows you that he's both deaf and dumb because they're making signs. And he asks for a writing tablet. Now, millennials, let me be straight here. This was no iPad. You know, you all read this text and say, oh, they brought him an iPad. No. This was no iPad. Here's what a writing tablet was. A writing tablet in Jewish times was they'll take a piece of wood and put wax over it. Isn't that brilliant? Take a piece of wood, put wax in it, so when you carve on the wax, you saw it. That's a writing tablet. That's iPad version 1.0. Piece of wood with wax, and you inscribe it with a hard object, and writing tablet. Now, I've just given a lot of you who don't have an iPad an idea for an iPad. Go home, take a piece of paper, put some wax in it, and you got an iPad. And guess what? It's better than mine's because yours never goes away. So they brought the iPad to him. And what did he do? You see, he now knowing. See, this man has realized now this is about God. He didn't believe she was going to have a child, so he wrote on it, his name is John. We knew something was wrong with that man. So they marveled. They marveled for a couple of reasons. One, they marveled that he had given the role of his, of a man, to her. They marveled. Wow, Elizabeth, you're the first Jewish woman who named a child, a boy child. Next time you have a Bible trivia question, you put that in there. See how many people get the answer. She's gone down in history. The second thing they marveled at, he picked a name that was not in the family tree. By doing that, he had just announced to everybody, this boy is not going to be like me. He had just said to them, I accept the fact that this boy child is not going to be a priest. That was difficult. Because now he had totally surrendered his will to God. And whenever you surrender your will to God, God moves. Because the very... Now, see, Luke is not a fella. Yeah, he is. Luke is the fella who likes to use this term. No, I'm sorry. Mark is the guy who likes to use these terms immediately. That's Mark. Luke is not a fella. He's a doctor. You know, doctors don't really... He's a physician. Doctors know that it takes time to heal. So Luke is not big into words like immediately and hearing and right away. Luke doesn't use those words a lot. But here you find Luke in verse 64 saying immediately. Very few times Luke used this word. Immediately. Zechariah spoke. So now everybody knew this must be from God. When you on invite, you couldn't from your life, you open the doors for God to move miraculously. I want to take some high points from this. Elizabeth's, the male name Zechariah means the Lord has remembered. Every time you pronounce that name, Zacharias had a son, you're saying to God, Lord, irrespective of what I'm going through in my life, I may be 60 years of age and pushing 61. I am not supposed to have a child, but God has remembered. That tells me that they had spent a significant amount of their life praying for a child. But God never moves on your time. The Bible uses this phrase, when the fullness of time has come, God sent. So whatever you're doing in your life, whatever you're going through, keep praying. Because God will, Zacharias, God will remember. And he married a woman whose name was Elizabeth. See, God remembered, married Elizabeth, whose Jewish name, Elisheva, means my God is an oath. God remembered, marries, my God is an oath. So when the angel came to him and he went home and said, well, he couldn't talk, but when she heard that God said you will have a child, she knew it was true because God has remembered, and whatever God says, he will do. My God is an oath. When you went into the baptismal pool, God took an oath with you. When you came out of that pool, God took an oath with you. He says, I will be with you always. Your God has remembered. And they named him John. The Hebrew meaning of the word John is Jehovah has been gracious. He has shown favor. God has remembered, married, God is my oath. What do you expect? God has shown favor. God has remembered you. You put your faith in God, he would show favor. You just need to do two things. Know he's remembered. Keep, claim his promises, and he will show favor. Two became three because God had remembered. High points from Elizabeth. Number one, God will silence your naysayers. You saw it today. Silence Zacharias. Silence the people. All of those who were saying that she couldn't. When you on invite, you couldn't from your life. God will silence your naysayers. Secondly, this is for you. Sometimes, well,
When God is moving in your life, sometimes you gotta shush. Some of y'all try to get ahead of God and announce a blessing that he hasn't promised, thinking that you'll get, name it and claim it. Ah, you need to be quiet. Let God move. The Bible said that for 5 months she secluded herself. Silence. The people were wondering, where's Elizabeth? Where's Elizabeth? What's happening with Elizabeth? What's going on? Her husband can't talk. He don't know what to tell us. He can't even hear if we ask about her. Where's Elizabeth? She could have gotten out there and said, hey, guys, I'm pregnant. Mm-mm. You got to let God move. You got to shut up and let God move. Because he's doing something big. He's doing it so big that even if you told us, we won't believe. Even if you got up now and testify, we said we want testimonies. You got up now and testify, we don't believe it. I'll show you how we don't believe it. Third point. God will move when you least expect. Maybe he didn't do it in 2019. Maybe he didn't do it in January, February. You don't stop praying. You don't stop claiming God's promises. You don't know when he will deliver. A Jewish girl typically gave birth. The young Jewish woman typically got pregnant 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. Elizabeth, no baby. She got into her 20s, no baby. She got in her 30s, still no baby. She got in her 40s, no baby. She got in her 50s, past childbearing age. She got in her 60s, certainly ain't going to happen. But that's the time God says, okay, I'll do the impossible. I'll do the impossible. Now, when you hear on the news that a 60-year-old woman, ladies and gentlemen, it still make headlines today when a 60-year-old woman has a baby. Isn't that something? That still make headlines. Elizabeth would have still made breaking news on CNN. 60-year-old woman has a baby in Jerusalem. What? She would have still made the news today. When God is moving in your life, you've got to understand that he will do it when you least expect. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of any flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? Ladies and gentlemen, it really didn't matter if God had decided she would have the baby at age 90. She would have been a 90-year-old with a baby. Just wouldn't matter. But what happened? That was the right time, because it was the right time for her to have John, because Jesus was about to come. She couldn't have John at 20 because John would have been too old by the time Jesus got there. She couldn't have him at 90 because John would have missed Jesus. She had him at 60 because that was a time for Jesus. Can you see it? So he was using Elizabeth. Shut her womb up all these years until it was just the time for John to emerge to announce Jesus. And it so happened she was 60. And it really didn't matter if when Jesus was supposed to come she was going to be 80. Didn't matter. God moves in his own time. She couldn't have it before. She couldn't have it after. She had John at the perfect time. See, just to her and Zacharias, it was uncomfortable. See, sometimes to you and me, when we're going through the situation, it sure is uncomfortable. Make no mistake, it is uncomfortable. Sometimes it's embarrassing. But ladies and gentlemen, it's always at the right time. Point number four. Stop worrying how you got into the situation. You're uninvited, you couldn't. Stop worrying. It's time for you to start praising. Verse 25, Elizabeth of Luke chapter 1. Elizabeth goes off into this song of praise. Chapter 1, verse 25. She says, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take reproach away from me. You keep praying and praising, and God will move in his time. My fifth point, excuse me, is Deuteronomy, found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13. When you allow God to uninvite you couldn't from your life, God is going to make you the head and not the tail. Elizabeth was not supposed to be the one in Jewish culture who named the child, and she certainly wasn't supposed to call the child some name that's not in the family tree. But God took her and he put her in a position of prominence such that her husband, even if he wanted, couldn't.
She named the child, breaking Jewish culture. She named him a name that was not in the family tree, but what God told her. She didn't just go by a name that she came up with. She named him what God said he should be named. So when you uninvite you couldn't from your life, you've got to be prepared to do it exactly the way God says. Can't go off track. 5 points from you couldn't. Now I want to switch to you shouldn't. Mary wasn't barren. She was betrothed to Joseph. But in that culture, betrothed meant it was a commitment to marry. But there was no, in Jewish culture, there were strict laws about cohabiting. Matter of fact, during that time, she was supposed to go off with a woman of the village, the elderly woman. They'll teach her how to be a wife for a period of about a year or something. And then she'll come back. And meanwhile, he would go off with the Jewish elders and he would understand what it is to be a husband. So the betrothed means there was a commitment to marry, but there were no sexual relationships. So when the Holy Spirit came to Mary, she shouldn't. Of course, she was a virgin. Now you're looking at me all, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, if I told you today when I walked in, there's a woman, I met this young lady in your lobby here today, and she told me she was a virgin, and she's pregnant. How many of y'all would say, yeah, we believe? Many of y'all would say, we've seen that type before. Yeah, I'm a virgin, but I'm pregnant. Would you believe that today? Would you believe that today? Somebody got up here and said, church, I want to tell you something. Yes, I'm a virgin. Okay. Wonderful. And I'm pregnant. What? What? Call the deacons. Get out. You wouldn't believe it today. 2020. So what made you believe it was any easier for them to believe then? She shouldn't. She should not be pregnant. Because she's a virgin. What? And to have the audacity. Oh, the Holy Spirit. The what? The who? Has conceived you? Oh, you crazy girl. You crazy. You crazy. But at least now you could Google it and find there was at least one person who did get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So some of you all might be, we ought to give her a chance. At least Mary did. At least Mary did. But there was no Google back then. And there certainly was anybody. You could imagine the people. We've never heard that before. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 28 and 29, this is when you're about to uninvite the second guest. You shouldn't. This is those of us who you know God is telling you to do something. You've told us what God is telling you to do, and we say in our great wisdom, you shouldn't. You know, I've been looking at this guy, I've been trying to date this guy, and I he's got everything going for him, but I just don't think he's the right one for me. I don't think he's spiritual enough. And we said, girl, you shouldn't. He's got everything going. He's got a degree. He's got his own home. He's got his own car. I mean, he's got it going on. You shouldn't walk away from that. Or you come in and you tell us, hey, this is what the Lord is telling me, and I want to step out. I want to step out in faith. And we look at you and we said, you shouldn't. We tell you. You shouldn't. And you've got to uninvite that guest from your life because you know what God is. You've had the conversation with God. You're the one that's been praying. Watch this. Luke chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. See, before they told her she shouldn't, this is what had happened. You've read this before. Luke chapter 1. Verse 28 and 29. So the angel appeared to her. And I want to show you something, ladies and gentlemen. When God is moving situations for you, you don't have to worry how he'll take care of it. I will show you something that Mary didn't ask for but happened. It'll blow your mind. You've read this text before. When I discovered it recently, I was like, what? You don't have to pray for every... When you're praying about something, you don't have to pray for every little detail. God's got the details. Don't worry about the details. I'll show you there was one detail here
that Mary didn't pray for, but God took care of.
All right, let's go to verse 28 and 29. Luke chapter 1. And she says, the angel has spoken to her, and he says, rejoice, blessed are you among, watch this. This is what? And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. Ooh, 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 ooh. The Lord is about to use a phrase that in Jewish culture was what? Here's what the angel said to her. The angel said, the Lord is with you. Whoa, that's a loaded phrase in Jewish culture. The Lord is with you. I'll show you why. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled. Have you ever wondered why she was troubled? Trouble is a translative word there that's a little problematic. She wasn't troubled in the sense of, I can't sleep tonight. She was amazed. Here's why. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. Remember when Moses was called to go to Pharaoh? Remember what the Lord says with him? I will be with you. In Jewish culture, whenever God underlined his statement, the Lord will be with you, it means, whoa, something big is about to go down. So when the angel told her, the Lord is with you, she immediately said, wait. Didn't my ancestors tell me that that's what he told Moses? Watch this. When Joshua was called to lead the people through the hostile territory, Joshua 1:5, the Bible records that the Lord says, I will be with you. We get to Gideon, called by God to liberate the people from the Midianites' oppression in Judges 6, verse 12. Here's that phrase again. The Lord said to him, I will be with you. The Lord will be with you. So when the angel said the Lord will be with her, she had heard through her Jewish teachings that whenever that phrase is used, the Lord will be with you, it means something big is about to go down. So when the angel said, the Lord will be with you, she was like, whoa, that changes everything. You've just put me in the rock stars. You've just made my name from this little village girl. You've just forever painted my name such that when the likes of Moses and Joshua's name are written on the wall, there will be Mary because the Lord will be with her. Wall of Fame. She knew that this is different. This is big. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're praying about something and you're convinced in your mind that God has said to you, I will be with you, that's huge. That's a game changer. You don't know where it will end. You don't try to put God in a box thinking this is the way. You got to step back and let God move. This is huge. I don't think some of us realize the power that we have through the Holy Spirit. I really say, I don't think you recognize that. I don't think you recognize how much power God has given you through His Holy Spirit, such that when you step out in faith, you don't understand that faith has been underscored, has been handwritten in heaven, the Lord will be with you. Ladies and gentlemen, that will move mountains that you don't even know exist. And you hear worrying, I wonder how this has turned out. I wonder what will happen. You wondering what will happen? You should wonder, whoa, my name's going to be up there now. The Lord will be with you. Wow. Game changer. Troubled. I don't know. She was like, oh man, am I ready for this? She was pinching herself. What? I don't know. Am I ready for this? Now, ladies and gentlemen, did you read anywhere in the Bible? Now, watch this. Watch this. She's got to leave Mary's home. Now, and the Lord's given her affirmation. Now, when you shouldn't meet, you couldn't. They realize there's only one thing. Uninvite those guests. It's the Holy Spirit. So when you couldn't, Elizabeth, meant you shouldn't, Mary, the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped. And Elizabeth said, whoa, I couldn't, you shouldn't. God's moving here. Because there's only one person that could uninvite those guests. You don't need to go to a therapist to build self-confidence. There's only one person who will help you uninvite those two guests. It's God. Watch this. Do you read anywhere? So she has to go and face her husband and tell him she's pregnant. And explain that to him. You know, Joseph, we haven't seen each other in 3 months. Yeah, Mary, you're right. I'm so happy to see you. I'm so happy to see you, Mary. Joseph? Yes, Mary? I'm pregnant. You are. Yeah. So who was it? It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Yes, Joseph. Did you read anywhere in the Bible where Mary had said, Lord, you've told me this. I want you to go tell Joseph because he's not going to believe. Did you read that? Was that her prayer? Well, what happened? God takes care of the little details. So he goes to Joseph, knowing that Joseph wouldn't believe. And he said, hey, dude, let me blow your mind. Okay, your wife to be is pregnant with my child. Oh, okay. I got it. See what God does? All those lily tales you write about. Oh, the Lord tell me to move. I wonder what will happen. He'll take care of the lily tales. He got ahead of her and he says, listen, I'll talk to Joseph because this is now my problem. But the longer you keep it, you try to go through all the checklists. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to sell a house. I've got to move. I've got to find a school for my child. I've got to find a job. And you're going through all these deals. And God says, listen, man, if I told you that you should, I'm going to take care of the details. As a matter of fact, when you get to where you need to be, there'll be some people who there just say, hey, we've been waiting for you. Isn't that something? We've been here waiting for you. Why? Because God went ahead and he prepared Joseph's mind for Mary. She wasn't even worried. Did you read anywhere? No, that trouble. Mary was troubled. Wasn't troubled because, Lord, what will I tell Joseph? That was the least on her mind. She was like, whoa, the Lord is with me. Something big is going to go down. And she said to the angel, let it be. Let it be as the Lord says. And God says, I got this. I got this, Mary. I got this. I'm going to take care of every problem that you, Joseph was the most supportive husband because he had been, we're going to argue with the angel? Well, how could that be? You could argue and run the risk of being dumb? He saw what happened with the guy who argued with the last angel. Did you see that? He would have read about Zacharias, argued with the angel and became dumb. You think he's going to, well, yes, whatever you say. He was not going to become deaf and dumb over a child that he didn't father. Smart man. When God is moving in your life, ladies and gentlemen, the quicker you learn to cooperate, the better it is for you. Sometimes the reason why you and I go through so much trouble is because we fight with the angel. Some of those situations that you're going through right now, some of those extra layers, is not because that's how the situation was supposed to unravel. But you've been fighting with the angel. And so the angel's got to make you mute and dumb and deaf and confound you. And like Joseph, Jacob, strike you all kind of hard because you just don't want to move. You've caused yourself a lot of unnecessary grief because you're fighting with God. Quit fighting with God. And just do like Joseph and Mary did. Whatever you say. Don't do like Zacharias. Because the angel... See, God's will is going to be done in your life, ladies and gentlemen. God's will is going to be done in your life. And even if getting his will done in your life means that he has to incapacitate you, he will. Because his will be done. Jesus had to come. There had to be someone to announce his coming. Jesus, think about it. Jesus had to come to save you and me. How would that have been if you and I read the Bible and said Jesus was supposed to come to save you and me, but this man called Zacharias got in the way? Man, every time we read that name, we're like, that old Zacharias got in the way of announcing the Savior. But God said, I'm going to send a son, a lamb that will take away the sins of the world. I'm going to have somebody announce him. And even if the fellow who supposed to bear that child don't want to cooperate, this is my plan for you. God looked down through the ages and said, in 2020, I need to save Chris Seeley. And Zacharias is going to stop it. I'm going to take care of Zacharias. I told you, God always takes care of the little details. Always does. Zacharias was just a little detail in the bigger plan. What's God's plan for your life? What's his plan for your life? Do you know? I suggest you ask him. Because there are two uninvited guests that you've been carrying around in your life. You couldn't and you shouldn't. And I'm here today to tell you this morning that God has sent me to tell you, uninvite, you couldn't, and certainly ask you shouldn't to leave. You need to do it this morning. You might have walked in here thinking about some things and trying to figure out what's going to happen in 2020, and you want to try to live 2020 just as you lived 2019. But God's saying to you this morning, I need you to move forward. Here's another lesson I want you to learn from Mary. You need to unfriend some of your Facebook friends. You need to unfriend some people in your phone. Some of your WhatsApp friend. You need to unfriend some of those. And surround yourself with people who are praying. The only reason the angel was able to speak to Joseph is because he was praying. See, when you surround yourself, listen to me this morning. When you surround yourself with praying people, listen, I'm going a little deep on you this morning. When you surround yourself with praying people, God will show them what he's doing for you. Did you get that? If you continue to surround yourself with all those naysayers, God can't show them what he's about to do for you. But when you surround yourself with people who are praying for you and praying with you, God is going to tell them, hey, Joseph, I'm going to make Mary pregnant, okay? I don't need your permission. I'm just telling you. I got it. I got it, Lord. Because I want you to take care of her. You got that, Joseph? I got it, Lord. Why? Because Joseph was praying about the situation. Had Joseph been out there saying, oh, I need to go talk to the elders. I need to go to talk to the rabbi. Oh, I need to go to the market. My head is spinning. What am I going to do? I got this woman here that everybody's saying, Joseph, you ain't the daddy. That's what it was saying. The church folk was saying, you know, you see these TV ads, you're not my daddy. I mean, Jesus could have told him that at any point in time. What are you telling me, Joseph? You're not my daddy. Didn't read anywhere in the Bible where Jesus did that. But ladies and gentlemen, surround, I can't underscore that enough. Surround yourself with people who are praying earnestly, man. The elder talked about prayer Wednesday night. Find yourself here praying earnestly because God is going to reveal to others. And listen to this. Listen to this. I can't tell you how many sermons I've preached. Didn't know what the situation was. People walked up to me and said, that sermon was for me because I've been praying about this. And this is exactly what I needed to hear. Guess what? I don't know your business. But because I'm praying and you're praying, God's going to tell me something this morning that it affirms in you that he said it's okay. So when Mary heard from Joseph that I'm okay, it affirmed in her that this was God's will. Because the normal course of events is that Joseph should have put her away, and he was thinking to do that. But the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't need to put her away. You come closer to her. There again, we find God's going against the culture. He's going against the norm. The norm was for Zacharias to name the child. Elizabeth did. The norm was for Joseph to put her away. Against the norm, buck the system. This man supported Mary 100%. I'm closing this up. Don't know how you walked in, but I believe somebody today walked in with you shouldn't in your life. That guest you've been carrying. Maybe somebody else walked in today with you couldn't. You've been told all your life you couldn't. and you brought those guests with you to church today, I want to ask you to leave you couldn't and you shouldn't right here. Because if you leave them in church today, they can't stay in church. Well, this is a praying church.